Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Good evening and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. Well, it has been more than 200 days since Hamas's October 7th attack. The militants took roughly 250 hostages into Gaza. One of them is Keith Siegel from Chapel Hill. He appeared in a video released by Hamas today, pleading for a hostage release deal. WRAL's Carly Haynes is live in downtown Raleigh. Now, Carly, this video is creating some urgency for hostages to be released.
Julian, this is the first video we've seen of Siegel since he was first taken by Hamas more than 6 months ago. He pleads for Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to negotiate a hostage deal with Hamas. Siegel's eyes are sunken. He appears thin. He swells up with tears before collapsing into his hands. The video is undated and the location hasn't been disclosed, but something said by another hostage in the same video suggests that this was recorded on Thursday. Hamas took Siegel and his wife, Aviva, on October 7th, the day of the first attacks. Aviva was released in November as part of the last hostage deal. Together, the two have five grandchildren. Republican Senator Ted Budd released a statement after Hamas released the video of Keith Siegel. He said, quote, "We are encouraged to see that Keith Siegel is alive, and we once again demand that Hamas release Keith and all of the hostages immediately and unconditionally. The release of this video for purposes of propaganda and psychological torture is further example of the true evil nature of Hamas. We remain committed to bringing Keith and all hostages home." End quote. The Hostages and Missing Families Forum says Siegel's family has confirmed the publication of this video, Julian.
All right, that video is circulating all across the world. WRAL's Carly Haynes reporting live for us in downtown Raleigh tonight. Thanks, Carly. Meanwhile, tonight, a large crowd of protesters remain in the middle of UNC's campus tonight. They're calling on the university to disclose any investments and stop funding any companies connected to Israel. The pro-Palestinian group began in more than two dozen tents at Polk Place around noon yesterday, but took down their tents about 90 minutes later after having conversations with UNC leaders. Now, there are similar large gatherings on university campuses across the country tonight. St. Augustine's University held a benefit concert today. The event will help support the school's graduating students, the track and field team, and staff amid financial and accreditation troubles.
We out here at the student care concert. Let me hear you make some noise.
There's a concert right there. The Raleigh Minister Alliance hosted the student care concert on the university's campus. It featured several artists, including Reggie Love, Coco McMillan, Kim Pearson, and more.
Today was all about the students here at St. Augustine's University. As you know, they are graduating on next week, and they needed some help. And also, some of the faculty have been struggling financially because the school has been unable to pay them. So we're hoping to provide a cushion for them financially.
We need love, we need unity, we need hope, and that's what they received today. Everybody who had a part of this today, they delivered.
The support keeps coming in so many ways. Now, the concert was free, but they did accept donations to benefit the school as it struggles to pay off its debt and fights to keep its accreditation. In less than an hour, family and friends will gather in Raleigh to honor a 13-year-old girl shot and killed on Monday. Makia Daniel was found dead on North Hills Drive. She was an eighth grader at Ligon Middle School. A 16-year-old is charged with murder and has been taken into custody on a juvenile petition. Police haven't released the suspect's name because of their age. There's a balloon release to honor Makia at 7 p.m. at Chavis Community Center. A Goldsboro man is dead after a shooting near a strip mall this morning. Goldsboro police say they got a ShotSpotter alert from Ash Street around 9:10 this morning. That's where officers found 26-year-old Christopher Faison with a gunshot wound. He was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. Police are asking anyone with information to contact the Criminal Investigations Division or Crime Stoppers. We have new information tonight about a hit and run on Lewisburg Road in Raleigh that killed a man. Police identified that man as 33-year-old Jamel Williams. This happened shortly before 1 in the morning. Police say Williams was walking across Lewisburg Road near the intersection of Danzy Drive when he was hit by a car. Williams died at the scene and the driver left that scene. Police do not have any information on the suspect's vehicle at this time. We also have new information tonight about a shooting of a six-month-old baby.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, a skydiver is recovering in the hospital after his parachute did not fully open during a jump today. Now, we don't know exactly where he was trying to land, but we do know he was a student diving through here, Skydive Raleigh, that is located on NC56. We did speak with the owner, who says that safety and training advisors are trying to figure out exactly what went wrong today. But the USPA is also involved, and we are still pushing for more answers. The good news here, though, is, again, that man is alive and recovering at the hospital tonight. Back to you.
Glad to hear that he is recovering. Thank you. Well, new information tonight about the shooting of a six-month-old baby and two adults in Robinson County. One of the adults, is dead, we're told. This happened yesterday afternoon near the intersection of Paracel and Children's Road in Red Springs. Police say 27-year-old Kyle Jones of Shannon died at the scene. 26-year-old Dakota Lambert of Red Springs is in the hospital in critical condition. The infant's injuries are not life-threatening. Now, no word yet on a motive or whether there's a suspect. The United Auto Workers Union has reached a last-minute tentative agreement with Daimler Truck, averting a potential strike of thousands of North Carolina workers. This is what else we found out. The union struck a four-year agreement with the German company. It covers workers at various plants in North Carolina. The new contract includes wage increases of more than 25% over the next 4 years and cost of living adjustments, among other things. Union members still need to approve the agreement. Folks came out today for a housing and health and wellness day at Chavis Community Center. Look for yourself here. All of these people showed up. The event was hosted by the Raleigh Chamber of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. They shared housing, physical activity, and nutrition, and also emotional wellness and educational resources and other activities as well.
As a community, we have some idea, but not a total idea of what's in our community. This is our way for those who have a need that needs to be met to get those resources all at one time.
Now, people who attended today's event were also able to get some health screenings and find out if they're a match for blood transfusions. Wake County Public Schools held its first ever Family and Community Engagement Summit today. District staff, school leaders, parents and families, and community partners all gathered at Athens Drive High School this morning. Now, the goal of the event was to build strong relationships, to share resources, and promote well-being within the school system.
We've known for years that parents have a tremendous influence over the success of their children. And when schools and families and community can come together in support of children, great things happen.
Yes, great things can happen. Now, attendees heard from speakers, attended breakout sessions, met with community groups, and had networking opportunities. The Carolina Hurricanes playoffs hopes are still alive despite a double overtime loss to the New York Islanders this evening. Despite a first period lead, the team wasn't able to come out with the win. But with a three-game advantage in the series, fans are still hopeful they'll make it to round two. Casey Hintz has much more coming up in sports. Can't wait to hear about it. Well, coming up, an amazing dinosaur exhibit in Raleigh is now open to the public.
After 67 million years underground, 3.5 years of construction, meet the first people to see this duel on display at the Museum of Natural Sciences.
Yes, yes, can't wait to see it. Also, Boogaloo is underway in downtown Raleigh. We bring you a little taste of the fun coming up. Anthony.
And Joanne, it is a perfect night to be out and about enjoying all of the festivities across the area. We see temperatures currently in the 60s and 70s, so it is warm. We are going up, though, from here. A big time warm up is on the way. We're going to break down how high our temperatures could get coming up after this break.
Welcome back. Boogaloo is happening right now in downtown Raleigh. The two-day event features over 110 craft breweries from North Carolina around the state. How about that? Today's festival spans the length of Fayetteville Street with local food trucks and vendors, along with two stages featuring local bands.
We came last year and it poured down rain.
So we survived the flood of 2023.
So this year is the weather's a bit better.
I haven't kept good count.
We've had some and we shall have more.
Oh, we shall have more. Well, Boogaloo is the largest craft beer festival in North Carolina and the second biggest in the U.S. How about that? It was named the number one best beer festival 2 years in a row by USA Today. The festival goes until 8 o'clock tonight. Two dinosaurs buried together 67 million years ago. And a new exhibit opened today that gives you the opportunity to watch scientists do their job unearthing answers about these prehistoric animals. WRAL's Eric Miller shares today's excitement at the Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh.
Today marks the grand opening of the Dueling Dinos exhibit, and it's been pretty darn grand so far. They had 184 people in here in just the first hour. That blew away expectations. These unbelievable dinosaurs inspiring both paleontologists and pint-sized dino fans.
Inside the SECU Dino Lab Saturday, paleontologists are digging up more than just bones.
I think it's really cool.
There's delight.
That's awesome.
And wonder in these rocks, too.
I like it.
It's an exhibit worth waiting for dino fans like Bryn Merritt and Christopher Leathers.
We're big dinosaur nerds.
They were first in line when the Dueling Dinos opened to the general public, waiting nearly 2 hours outside the museum.
I've known it was coming for years, and I'm glad it's finally here.
Others, like the Stevens family, drove all the way from South Carolina.
190 miles, 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
The journey to this lab has been long for these bones, too. After 67 million years buried in Montana soil, they were discovered in 2006 before eventually making their way to the Museum of Natural Sciences and this custom lab.
We wanted to create an experience where we could take down the barrier between scientists and community.
Lindsay Zeno is the head of paleontology at the Museum of Natural Sciences. She says the reaction has been exceptional.
It's so unbelievable. People don't think it's real.
An unbelievable fossil and an unbelievable story. Finally, close enough to touch.
Now for today's special event, you didn't need tickets, but that's going to change starting tomorrow. Any other day you want to come down here, you will have to reserve a ticket. You can find those on duelingdinosaurs.org. In Raleigh, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
All right, what are you waiting for? Get out there and get those tickets. All right, Anthony, WRAL Gardens right now is hopping. It's prom season and people are out enjoying the evening.
Yeah, it makes for a perfect backdrop for that, Julian. We have some cloud cover, and I think that's actually probably going to help the pictures out this evening, just kind of obscuring some of the sunlight coming through. Lots of people out and about. It's awesome seeing everyone out there enjoying our evening. No problems here. If you're headed out across the area, we'll keep a little bit of cloud cover. But temperatures right now, as you're planning, 75 is where we currently sit in Raleigh and Durham. Upper 60s there for Clinton, Goldsboro 74. Good evening to you in Rocky Mount. We're at 76 currently in Southern Pines. So it's pretty comfortable. Humidity levels remain low for us this evening. And as we head into tonight, check out those temperatures too. Going to be pretty comfortable for Roxborough at 56. Mostly everyone, in fact, topping out or bottoming out rather. 55 or 56, our forecast model showing there tonight. Should be a good wake-up call tomorrow morning. We do start a warm-up though for our Sunday. We're going to see temperatures a little bit warmer than today. 82 tomorrow afternoon. More sunshine though than what we've seen for our Saturday. So I think it'll be a little bit better in that regard. And then we go to 86 as we get into our Monday. Our normal high here has continued to jump up. It was 75 a couple days ago. We're now at 76, and we're going to be well above that as we head into this upcoming week. 88 by the time we get to our Tuesday. Could we hit 90 for the first time this year? I think that potential is definitely there. At this point, I have us at 88, 86 on Thursday. The difference, of course, 88 versus 90, it's still going to be a decently hot week for us, so just make sure to plan on that. I want to talk about here kind of what's going on in the Central Plains, because thankfully we are quiet here at home. It is a different story with this big weather system out in this part of the country. Yesterday they had numerous tornado reports confirmed. We have another day where we're watching a pretty substantial severe weather risk. Not often that you see a level 4 out of 5. This includes Wichita, Oklahoma City, stretches all the way up into Iowa. Chicago's looking at a severe risk, even St. Louis. When we talk about what we're currently seeing on Doppler network right now, every single one of those red polygons, again, in the central parts of the country, we are not expecting severe weather, but all of those are tornado warnings that are actively ongoing across this part of the country. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's at least 5 to 6 tornado warnings across this part, and we're expecting more into tonight. Another interesting thing to note here, too, they have a tornado watch out for a large part of that part of the country, but they have one called a particularly dangerous situation tornado watch, abbreviated a PDS tornado watch. If you ever ever hear that, it's basically one step above a tornado watch. It's really emphasizing that folks in this part of the country, if you have family out in this part of the country, please check on them because they're expecting some big time weather. A few intense tornadoes, hail up to about 3 inches in diameter, 75 mile per hour winds. That's all what the National Weather Service is outlining. It gets a little bit farther to the east as we get into our Sunday, looking at a level two there for most of those folks, including again St. Louis. But we are not looking at any rain chances until we get into our Tuesday. Certainly no severe weather. But again, if you have family out in that part of the country, it might be a good idea to check on them. 82 for our Sunday. We go to 86 on Monday. Lots of sunshine the next couple days. 88 on Tuesday afternoon. 87 Wednesday. Maybe a few pop-up storms then. And as we head into next weekend, Julian, 84, we're looking at temperatures more reminiscent of summer compared to where we should be this time of the year.
Yeah, and it's consistently 80.
It is, yeah. It's not one of those weeks where we're going up and down. We're just going to be in the 80s for the majority of us.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Anthony. Casey, everyone's hoping for a sweep, but sometimes games need to be a battle, or a series needs to be a battle, right?
It sure does. I mean, the closeout game, though, in a series is always the toughest to win. The Hurricanes finding that out tonight, that the Islanders are fighting for their lives. When we come back, how the Canes were able to push this one to double overtime. Next.
Blocker to Wayne, who shouldn't score. Pageot got to the spot.
A series clinching game is always the hardest one to win in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Even more difficult is a sweep scenario. The Canes looking to sweep a best of seven series for just the second time in franchise history. The only previous sweep coming against the Islanders in the second round back in 2019. Let's get you up to the UBS Arena. Four in a row for Freddie Anderson. And boy, he's been so good, and he would have to be here early. You knew the Isles would come out desperate, and they did. A point blank stop keeps this game scoreless. Then just a few minutes later, Canes draw a penalty. 2 for 10 in the series on the power play. Seth Jarvis pounces on the loose puck here. It's his second goal of the playoffs. And just like that, it was 1-0 Carolina. But to the third period now, Islanders up at 2-1 in this one. Canes back on the man advantage. A silky feed from Teuvo Teravainen. He finds Stefan Nason from his office, bangs it home to tie the game at 2. And we would stay that way through 80. Here we are, just a minute and a half now into a double overtime game. Robert Bertuzzo fires one on net. Matt Barzell gets a tip by Anderson. Islanders live to see another day. 3-2 the final. Ryan Brindamore, your thoughts?
I mean, they're back in it. They got, you know, some, we gave them some hope here now. So now it's, you know, it's tough to, we talked about before, it is tough to win 4 games in a row on someone, and you know, especially when the games are even like they are. I mean, it's not like it was 3-0 and we were dominating the games. It could have went either way in all three, just like tonight could have easily went the other way. So we expected it to be a long series, and you know, we got to focus on the next one.
Dude, oh. We got the Steelers. Yeah.
We did it, buddy.
Yes, you did, Peyton Wilson. A little longer than expected, but the former NC State star and ACC Defensive Player of the Year off the board late last night, taken in the third round, 98th overall by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, Wilson was expected to go higher. As the night went on, the reports swirled that there was a specific injury concern that reportedly scared teams away, specifically NFL Network. Ian Rappaport reported Wilson does not have an ACL in one of his knees. I guess you can't tear it if you don't have it, right? Steelers defensive coordinator, though, Terrell Austin, says they let the medical staff handle all of that. What he looks at is the game tape. And there's one thing that jumps out immediately.
Speed. He can really go. And he is a quick trigger guy, which I think, you like that as a linebacker. He sees and diagnoses things fairly quickly and allows his speed, you know, to really show up in games.
UNC had its stud linebacker taken off the board. Cedric Gray goes 106th overall, selected by the Tennessee Titans. Gray is an absolute disruptor with some speed of his own. In his senior season, Gray totaled 121 tackles, 11 tackles for a loss, and 5 sacks to anchor the Tar Heels defense.
Soon as he told me it was a Baltimore Ravens, you know, I teared up, kind of broke down. It was a moment I've been waiting for since I was 4 years old.
What a journey it's been for UNC's Tez Walker, but through it all, he heard his name in the NFL draft, going in the 4th round, 113th overall by the Baltimore Ravens. Now, there's some other names to know coming off the board today. Carolina Panthers continue to add some weapons around Bryce Young, taking tight end Jatavion Sanders, 101st overall. He's the second Longhorn the Cats have selected in the draft. A receiver-like threat. That's some good news there. Now, a couple offensive linemen off the board as well. Duke's Jacob Monk headed to Green Bay, and State's Dylan McMahon selected 190th to Philadelphia. Head over to WRL Sports Fan for the latest on the draft. Well, the NC Courage back at the friendly confines of Wake Med Soccer Park tonight, hosting Seattle Reign FC. Now, the ladies are undefeated at home this season. In fact, Courage have gone unbeaten in 12 straight home games dating back to last April, but will look to get back in the win column after a 2-1 loss at Angel FC a week ago, where the ladies saw what a sold-out crowd can do for them, and they hope the fans and Carrie can replicate it.
Aside from all, like, external factors, being able to be at home and receive that kind of, like, love and support from our own fans, it always is like incredibly uplifting, and we have an incredible fan base and just seems to be growing. So it's definitely going to be a huge addition in our corner for this upcoming weekend.
And you can watch that game on WRL2 coming up at 7 p.m. Julian.
All right. Thank you, Casey. And thanks for watching us and joining us tonight. Stay tuned now for NBC Nightly News, followed by On the Record at 7. Have a good evening.